Jenny Bard. She has worked for the American Lung Association in California since 1997. She's a regional director for programs and advocacy, and she oversees programs and advocacy for policy change at the local, regional, and statewide level to improve air quality and reduce lung disease. She coordinates the Health Professionals for Clean Air, a statewide coalition of medical and health organizations that work to advance strong air quality and global warming laws to protect public health, focusing on implementation of California's climate law, AB 32. She also works with local governments to highlight the public health benefits of smart growth policies that reduce the need to drive and educates the public on the health impacts of air pollution. And she serves in the Advisory Council of the Bay Area Air Quality Management District.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for coming to our session. And full disclosures, I have nothing to disclose. We have an air pollution crisis in California, and this crisis is due to our dependence on driving. The lung association, it's sort of hard to see this. I can see that here. It'll help you if you come up closer, but I'll try to explain it. The Lung Association's annual State of the Air report, we give grades for both ozone, smog, and particle pollution, or soot, and we rank hundreds of cities across America. As you can see on this slide, much of our state falls out of compliance with federal clean air standards for, in this case, ozone. All the red counties there are out of compliance for healthy levels of ozone. California cities on the list, on the left there. Can't read that. I'll tell you what it says. California cities dominate the list of the most polluted in the United States. I highlighted Los Angeles at the top there, which ranks as the most polluted metropolitan area for smog. You probably all know that. And the top five for fine particle pollution. In fact, 9 of the top 10 cities for worst ozone in California, are in California, and 6 of the top 10 cities for worst particle pollution are in California. All of this adds up to difficulty breathing, particularly those living with lung illnesses, COPD, asthma. Asthma, in fact, affects about 750,000 residents in Los Angeles County, including about 200,000 children. Now, this is the SCAG region, these 6 counties here. 5 of the 6 counties that comprise the SCAG region rank among the 25th most ozone or smog-polluted counties in the entire United States, including 3 of the top 5. The red, which is San Bernardino, experiences more than 120 days a year of unsafe ozone levels. And of course, vehicle emissions are a leading source of pollution in this region, and it has significant impacts on residents. Reducing motor vehicle emissions through smart growth and land use and transportation planning is a key measure to relieve our air pollution crisis. Here's a trend chart, actually, looking back over 13 years of progress. While our report shows that we've made pretty good progress reducing the number of unhealthy air days, we're not improving quickly enough. The red line down at the bottom is where we need to be to meet federal air quality standards. We need cleaner cars and trucks and communities designed with better walking, biking, transit options, not only to reduce air pollution, but also as a critical step in fighting climate change. This information that I'm showing you was a key part of our outreach to organize the health community and elected officials around the Sustainable Community Plan. And this is difficult to read too, but there are many compelling health issues that demonstrate the need to frame transportation as a public health issue. The key signs of this crisis include thousands of people dying prematurely each year statewide from air pollution, 5,000 in the South Coast Air District alone. That's about 14 deaths every day. So here's the reality of the problem and developing a sustainable community strategy for this region. We have 18 million residents, 191 cities, 6 counties, the 16th largest economy in the world. Almost half of the state's population lives here, 10,457 freeway miles. How do all these people primarily get around? By driving. So the American Lung Association, working with our partners Climate Plan, Healthy Places Coalition, Human Impact Partners, Safe Routes to Schools, and others, We began organizing the health community to engage in the SES process in 2011. I'll be talking about a few of those activities in more detail. We reached out to health organizations, including the Heart Association, Diabetes Association, Public Health Associations, Medical Societies, Asthma Coalitions, hospitals, and others. The opportunity was really unprecedented. We are looking at a plan laying out transportation investments over the next 30 years, totaling over $600 billion in transportation investments. As we have found in our decades of air quality and advocacy, when health groups speak clearly and convincingly, elected officials listen. Information about how planning decisions affect chronic illnesses like asthma is important to policymakers. Everyone, but particularly elected officials, they do value healthier communities where people have cleaner air, more opportunities for outdoor exercise, healthier children, and less chronic illness. This was a key framing we used. Knowing the dramatic impact that driving has on air pollution, the American Lung Association looked for ways to quantify the health benefits that Southern California could gain by building more compact, transit-friendly communities. We contracted for an analysis that measured the health benefits of reduced smog and soot from a 20% reduction in vehicle miles traveled by 2035. Our analysis found a combination of the SCAG, we throw that term around, SCAG, Southern California Association of Governments, by reducing vehicle miles traveled and, in California, increasing state clean car standards can provide significant benefits in this region. It's critical to note that these effects are associated only with the vehicle emission reductions associated with decreased vehicle miles traveled. You will hear about the benefits of increased walking and biking from Neil Maslisch on top of these respiratory health benefits. So the research and data that we compiled complemented another primary outreach component of our advocacy efforts. We engaged the physician community and the health community to publicly make the case for smart growth and active transportation as a critical public health choice. These op-eds ran in Inland Empire newspapers in the months and weeks leading up to the vote on the sustainable community strategy and underscored that smart growth is healthy growth. Additionally, we organized physician presentations to councils of governments to outline the health benefits of smart growth, demonstrating how driving is not only a source of air pollution problems, but a variety of other chronic illnesses. We hosted forums for health professionals on our key message, smart growth equals healthier communities. Here, the SCAG Executive Director, Hassan Ikrata, addresses health professionals in the Inland Empire on the sustainable community strategy process and opportunities to promote health. The key asks by the health community were really four main areas, but there were many, many others, which there should be a whole session on the SCAG process, but we urged at least $10 billion in active transportation funding. The previous RTP had $1.8 billion, and SCAG had bumped it to $6 billion. We urged SCAG to work with local transportation agencies to prioritize bicycle and pedestrian projects and ensure that the majority of funds are spent early in the plan, prior to 2020. The LA County Department of Public Health had done a study and found that $40 billion would be needed to build out the bike and pedestrian network in the SCAG six-county region. That would be 9% of the total transportation investment budget, with $6 billion was 1.3% of the total budget. Increasing investments in zero-emission freight transportation, improving assessment of health benefits of active transportation through new modeling approaches. Again, you'll hear more about that. And prioritizing health outcomes in the sustainable community strategy process. How am I doing for time? Thank you. The Lung Association emphasized the need to assess the health impacts and monitor over time to assure there are improvements to public health. And in order to, you know, address this information gap, we advocated for SCAG to not only clearly describe and define the scenarios they were looking at, but to compare the health benefits and impacts of each and share that information with the public. In our meetings and in our testimony, we have advocated for health analysis in transportation and land use planning, and we urge them to move quickly to adopt models that are currently available, but that were not being used by SCAG. Again, you'll hear more about this. So you, Celia, talked about the wonderful report that Human Impact Partners did. The letter on the left there is basically a cover letter that we put in front of that report to the SCAG Plans and Programs Technical Advisory Committee to emphasize the importance of analyzing health and equity metrics of the Sustainable Communities Plan. And you'll see all of the health organizations that signed that letter. And this was an important part of the process when you can get in front of the staff behind the scenes who are developing the technical side of reports and modeling and planning. They were hearing the health and equity analysis of this, and seeing all the support from the health community was very, very important. On the left there, as much as public health organizations were a key new constituency before the SCAG region, the Lung Association reached out to more voices to bring more voices into the discussion, including AARP. AARP is actually very involved in promoting policies for living independently and having access to goods and services for the senior population and to maintain aging in place and independence. An AARP study in 2005, a report to the nation on livable communities, concluded that those communities that design for livability empower their residents to remain independent and engaged and offer a better quality of life. At the same time we were organizing the health community, we also worked to build support among local elected officials within the SCAG process. We created and invited elected officials to endorse a campaign called the Healthy Growth Leaders Campaign. We provided them with educational materials, our data, endorsement forms, polling data, press releases, and drafted local government resolutions in support of smart growth. We also spent a lot of time on the phone, emailing, and even standing outside meetings with posters and flyers to gather endorsements. Some of the materials are pictured here. Here's one of the cards that we devised and handed out at several of the regional council meetings, asking for the 83-member board of the regional council of SCAG to sign these cards. Basically, it says, I support the American Lung Association's vision for healthy growth in the Southern California Association of Governments Sustainable Community Strategy. Healthy growth envisions communities built in ways that allow more choices for transit, biking, or walking to connect places where people live, work, shop, and play. And more than 30 elected officials signed our pledge. We recognize them on our website. So, working closely with Climate Plan, again, Safe Routes to Schools and Move LA, we did a full court press on the 83 members of the Regional Council to support an enhancement motion that included a specific focus on health and equity tracking measures, in addition to increased focus on active transportation and zero emissions good movement. Here you see the language specifically related to health outcomes. Tracking chronic disease outcomes such as asthma incidence and exacerbation, heart disease, stroke, and diabetes, include an expanded analysis of traffic pollution impacts to include areas with housing within 1,000 feet of high-volume roadways. And then these are the other aspects of that, monitoring outcomes and impacts as well as mitigation strategies. So what health outcomes specifically came out of this process? What we learned was that trying to get health outcomes into the 2012 RTP was limited by technical capacity as well as data quality and quantity. The only performance measures directly related to public health was measuring criteria pollutant emissions. However, thanks to the advocacy of the health community, performance measures that SCAG committed to monitor and develop for the future, which we're working on now, percent of households living less than 500 feet from high-volume roadways, premature deaths due to PM2.5, and housing siting and near roadway emissions. They're also considering other determinants of health, such as access to transportation options and a variety of other programs. New scenario planning tools are under development. You'll hear more about that. And currently, SCAG has set up 6 subcommittees to help guide implementation of the key strategies of the Sustainable Community Strategy, one of which is the Public Health Subcommittee. What was notable to us was that SCAG staff and regional council members stated that this was the first time that health was ever discussed as part of the transportation and land use planning process. So there are many challenges ahead to implement the health community recommendations to actually measure reductions in chronic disease. SCAG has to deal with a huge funding problem just to keep existing roads in a state of good repair and figure out how to maneuver through antiquated transportation programs that mainly focus on asphalt instead of dedicating funding to transit and bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. But SCAG has committed to focusing on health and active transportation and measuring outcomes as part of the planning process. And the health community is now at the table helping to develop the 2016 Regional Transportation Plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jenny.